Operator, has the recording started?
Yes, that's correct.
Audio get started.
This conference is now being recorded.
Thank you.
And the audio cast has now joined.
Okay, good. Thanks very much, operator. Welcome, everyone, to our GNSO Council meeting for today, April the 7th. Let's start with the admin matters. We have a list of items that will be covered in today's meeting that you can see in the agenda. And if you have any disclosures of interest that you'd like to make, please do so at this time. We have received some updates for statements of interest from a few people. Jonathan, John, and Jamie have sent some in. Glenn, have any more come in since then?
No, only the three statements.
Okay.
Stefan, would you like me to do a roll call quickly?
Yes, I would. Thank you, Glenn.
Jeff Newman?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Sorry.
Jonathan Robinson?
Yes.
Ting Chiu?
Listen.
Adrian Kinderis?
Yes, I'm here.
Tim Ruiz? Tim, I can see is on.
Present. Sorry, I was muted.
Stefan van Gelder?
Yes, I'm here.
Apologies from Andrei Kolesnikov, and he has given his proxy to Carlos Aguirre. Zahid Jamil is on mute at the airport. John Berard?
Here.
Christina Rosette?
Yes.
David Taylor?
Yes.
Wolf Ulrich Knoben?
Yes.
Jamie Wagner?
Present.
Rafik Demick, I see, is not yet on the call. William Drake? Not yet. Debbie Hughes?
Present.
Wendy Selsey is absent, and she has given her proxy to Rafik Demick. Rosemary Sinclair?
Present.
Mary Wong is absent for the first hour, and she has given her proxy to Rafik Demick for that hour. Olga Cavelli?
Present.
And we have Carlos Aguirre has not yet joined us, but it looks as though he will be on the call shortly. Alan,
sorry. Sorry, Glenn. Carlos Aguirre is here.
Ah, thank you, Carlos.
Thank you.
Alan Greenberg?
Present.
Antoine Lee?
Present.
And for staff, we have Liz Gaster, Margie Marlin, Samantha Eisner, Julie Headland, Marika Koenigs, Dan Halloran, and Bill Drake has just joined us. Thank you, Stefan, and myself, Glenda Saint-Jacques, and over to you. Thank you, Stefan.
Thank you, Glenn. And I think the proxy notification that you sent to the list for Mary actually named William Drake as her proxy and not Rafik. Is that correct?
You're quite right. You're quite right. Yes. I've got it.
Okay, good. Okay. Right. So thank you for doing that, Glenn. You can all see that the minutes will be approved in 2 days' time for the previous meeting, according to our procedures. Are there any amendments that anyone would like to make to the agenda at this time? Hearing none, let's move straight into item two. And as a reminder, this is our usual item where we review projects that are part of our pending projects list. And the aim of doing so is to make sure that we are aware of what's going on within these projects, and for those projects that have been taking or open for a long time, it's also a way for the council to keep up to date, be reminded of what's going on, and look at prioritizing our work as well. So for this time, we will be looking at the GNSO Toolkit of Services, and Rob Hogarth has kindly agreed to give us an update on the work going on there. So I will hand it over to you, Rob.
Thanks, Stefan, and my apologies to the Council for not being able to give this update in San Francisco, but I think the information is still fresh and helpful, and I'll go through a little bit of background, give you guys some perspective in terms of where we are, and we can talk about next steps and questions that anyone has. I'll keep the presentation brief so that we have time for discussion and questions. Just as a reminder, that the toolkit concept was something that came out of the recommendations that the board received from the Board Governance Committee and the independent review of the GNSO's structures and operations. And the context in which the toolkit sits is the desire to lower the opportunity or just basic participation costs of members of the community to participate in GNSO policy development activities. And the concept that came out of that recommendation was a focus on in-kind assistance that would provide standard services to various constituencies, because those were the operating groups at the time within the GNSO, to really help them conduct their work. And as many of you who actually participated in the process know, it took a good deal of time for members of the work team to work through the various recommendations. As a result, what basically happened was that the GNSO Council, a year ago December, identified 10 main toolkit menu items. I've got them listed on the slide in Adobe Connect right now. I'm not going to belabor all of them for you, but suffice to say that these were the areas, the types of support services that members of the community identified as being very helpful to help them do their work. And after approving these menu items in December of 2009, the onus was then upon us as staff to figure out ways to provide Glenn with the appropriate background information and support to help the Secretariat and other members of the policy staff offer these services to the community. What we did was provided a checklist consistent with the implementation report and plan that I circulated and talked to you all about prior to the Cartagena meeting. We put together a checklist and invited the leadership of the various GNSO stakeholder groups and constituencies and invited them to do two things. One, indicate what resources and services they wanted from the toolkit for the remainder of this fiscal year. That's fiscal year 2011, which goes through the end of June. And to separately indicate for us, looking toward the next year, the next fiscal year, what type of services they thought they would want to take advantage of. What we learned from that process was what the popular services are, got a sense as to what was being offered, what was requested, and it also, quite frankly, helped us in terms of working with our colleagues as they began the process of developing the FY12 budget plan for ICANN generally. What we learned is that they're really overarchingly four main areas that the community really thought were valuable and important to them. They were face-to-face meetings. Secondly, just generally telephone support. Website support. I've got on the slide website analysis, which was, you know, the overwhelming choice, I think, of all the respondents. And then elections support. So those were the main areas of the 10 that basically everybody was interested in some form of support or another. What we have done since then is worked to begin to confirm whether those groups who have sought the support are actually getting it. And then secondly, to work internally as a team, again with our colleagues, just to confirm that we are going to have the financial resources to ensure these services and this support in FY12. Now, it's important to put this toolkit, the GNSO toolkit that I'm discussing, in the larger context, because there has been some confusion within the community about this, within the GNSO community, particularly some of the leaders of the various stakeholder groups and constituencies. We were very specific in terms of the implementation plan to say that If a service is in the toolkit, in the GNSO toolkit, we will be providing it. Now, you also may recall, as I mentioned in Cartagena, depending upon the input that came from the community groups, we might need to do some follow-up work in terms of identifying what the standard service would be. And I'll talk in a moment about that. But the larger context that's important is that a number of you have also been asked, Stefan, I think you were involved in some of these discussions earlier, and I think it's true of a lot of the constituency and stakeholder group leaders. They've had meetings and conversations with our finance team where Juan Ojeda and our new COO, Akram Atala, have really looked at this broader concept of ICANN offering support services to the community. And that's a larger discussion. And primarily the focus of that discussion has been, what are you getting, what are you not getting that you want more, what are you not getting that you want, and what are you getting some of, but you would like a lot more of? And that was in the context of the FY12 budget discussions and was really in the context of the supporting organization and advisory committee level. And so these were rather broad requests from the supporting organizations and advisory committees for what are the general support services that ICANN is offering that we need more of or additional services that don't exist right now. The GNSO toolkit that we're talking about is really focused on services provided to stakeholder groups and constituencies. So I just wanted to make sure that we appreciated that context, and I also understand you may have some questions about actually how that's happening in practice, but that's the larger context of this. Now, in terms of next steps, in looking at all of the feedback that we've received from the stakeholder group and constituency leaders, And Glenn and I are going to continue to have some conversations about this, but I'm very comfortable that it appears to me that for FY11, those groups who have a desire for a number of the services that they indicate in the checklist, they're either already getting them or that they're on the path to getting them from Glenn. You know, hearkening back to the popular services, we have already provided election support, for example, for the business constituency for their election of officers. I think just about now all the groups who wanted to have the free telephone conference bridge now have them. There are a couple of miscommunications we've had with a couple of groups where the request didn't really match what some of the other members of their constituency or stakeholder group wanted. I think that's more of an individual community discussion. But at present, it appears to me that for FY11, we're, you know, delivering what has been asked for. For FY12, we've identified in the budget for all the services that we're clear on that those services will be properly resourced going forward. And we've had discussions internally, for example, with members of the IT team trying to, you know, work really hard on identifying the right service providers for some of those capabilities. And those discussions, I think, are going pretty well. The area where there's still some question and where we're going to need some community support, and Glenn and I will be reaching out to a number of your stakeholder groups and constituencies, is that a number of groups have asked for website hosting and maintenance support. A number of groups have expressed an interest in membership database support, and a number have asked for organizational record-keeping support. Now, based on our experience when we went with the communications work team, the terminology is fairly broad, and if we're going to be capable of offering the services, we need to have a standard package. And so what we'd like to do is to work with members of those communities who want that service to help us define precisely what those will be. Because one of the things that became clear fairly early on working with our communications team and IT team is they're really not in a position to be able to cost-effectively offer customized solutions to everybody. So it's really an exercise in defining what do we mean by website hosting, what are the particulars of that. It may also reach points of content. How do we have the layout of pages so we don't have to, you know, create a new page for every group or something like that. And a couple of the groups that actually do a really good job on that, we've reached out to and asked them for assistance and advice to the group on best practices and things like that. So before too long, and I would hope in the next couple of weeks, we will come out with an invitation and some prospective times and ask you and members of your communities to suggest representatives who might help us define better the parameters for those three services. The other piece, of course, is going to be just confirming and continuing to monitor very closely the FY12 budget process to make sure that nothing slips back out to the extent that the board finance committee has to look at competing priorities or not. We have a critical goal and expectation of keeping all of the GNSO toolkit menu items resourced. The other piece, and it's, you know, just one final point that I'd like to make, and I think this is something that Akram has been very good at trying to emphasize to us internally. He is really, in a general practice, trying to identify ways to improve, quote-unquote, the value for all the stakeholder groups, and that's small s, small g, that participate in ICANN. And so I think we're just seeing the beginnings of this broader discussion that says, What is organizationally being provided in terms of service? Are the correct support services being offered broadly, not just as we have done as a community within the GNSO, but more broadly? You know, is the GNSO getting something similar to the at-large community? Let's make sure that we have a level playing field and raise the tide for all the stakeholder groups, again, small s, small g, to give them the number of resources and things that they're going to need to participate fully in the policy development process. And one final point, and this is a reaction to a comment that Stefan made in a call that we were using to prep for this meeting, and that was sort of, well, you know, what's the next step in terms of what we do with this project from a GNSO council perspective? I think that we are largely we've largely moved really to the stakeholder group and constituency level within the GNSO. The council did what it needed to do to identify the menu items. I think we'll want to keep some visibility on this issue for all of you on the council, at least until we confirm the FY12 budget, and that's approved by the board. And then at that point, this really becomes mechanics and logistics for stakeholder groups and constituencies, and won't rise again to the council level unless we've got, you know, a growing groundswell of, you know, new products or services that the community thinks it needs. And then I think we'll just have to examine that going forward. And I'll stop and pause that now there, Stefan, and just let folks ask any questions or let you guys discuss the matter otherwise. Thank you.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks very much for that. You actually did a good job of answering any of the questions that I might have, apart from the one that Jeff was asking on the Adobe, which is where the new GNSO website that we were shown in Cartagena, I think, and that was supposed to come out, I think, in the weeks following that meeting. But I would also just like to make sure that I'm clear in understanding what you just said in answer to the question that I had in terms of prioritization, because this is the main aim of this exercise for me. So you are saying that after the budget for fiscal year 2012 has been agreed, we can consider this project terminated as far as the GNSO Council pending projects list goes. Is that correct?
Yeah, that would be my recommendation. I mean, it's up to you guys what tools you want to use. The pending projects list, I think, is a useful tool for just having visibility on various issues, and obviously that's, you know, subject to how you guys want to package it and use it. My only suggestion for keeping it on for another couple months is it just helps maintain some visibility, because the activity will still take place. The issue is whether you all want to have a regular update on it.
Okay, thanks. I do feel strongly that those projects are on that list are projects that directly involve the GNSO, and not that we don't leave on the list things that are just sleepers as far as the GNSO Council goes. But that's been very interesting. Thanks very much. Please do say a word about the GNSO website if you can, and then we'll I see Jonathan's got his hand up, so we'll pass the mic over to Jonathan.
You want me to answer Jeff's question before Jonathan asks his?
If you could, that'd be great, yeah.
Certainly. The GNSO website improvements are not in the list of toolkit items, so let me just clarify that. That's a separate project that Scott, who started on the policy team and during the lifetime of this project, took with him as he moved to the communications team. He reported to you all in Cartagena and shared with you the wireframes for the new website. Very optimistically, I think we came out with the expectation that we would be able to migrate all the content in the existing GNSO website, create new content to help flesh out a number of the introduction pages and the rest prior to the Silicon Valley meeting in San Francisco. Unfortunately, just it was a pure bandwidth issue. Scott lost somebody, so we didn't have the folks able to do the content work. An important part that we've insisted on from a policy development team support perspective is that we had the opportunity to review any content before it gets posted and put live on the site. And so it's literally just been a bandwidth issue. I've discussed with Scott what the now revised time frame is. He is comfortable and confident that we'll have it up and live by the Singapore meeting. I will work with him to continue to give you guys regular updates on the pending project list, and at some future point, if you'd like to invite him to participate in a council meeting just to be able to discuss more of the logistical details of the timing of that, I'm sure he would be delighted to do so.
Okay, thanks, Rob. If I can just stress that the website is of critical importance to many of us, because it's we do feel, as I'm sure everybody shares that thought, that the current website doesn't help, especially with outreach and making it clear to non-ICANN insiders what it is that we do. So I'm sure the new website that we saw in Cartagena impressed us all from that point of view, and we'd like to have it as soon as possible. So if you can pass that message along. Thanks. Jonathan.
Hi, Stefan. It's a small point. I'll try and be brief. Hi, Rob. Thanks. It was very useful. A quick summary and update. You mentioned, I believe, that there were some areas where people hadn't perhaps got the support they might be expecting, and you had what I think I understood you say, there were some minor issues in getting it. I mean, I'm aware that the registry stakeholder group doesn't get the telephone call support, as far as I can tell, and I wondered if that was one of them, and if not, perhaps you could reach out back to registry stakeholder group and just make sure that they are getting what you think they're getting or that they would like to be getting.
Yes, thanks. That was definitely on my list, and I've had since your meeting, I think your last meeting, I heard about it at the last minute and unfortunately had a conflict, but I have corresponded with David Maher. I'm going to be on your next call. I think that's next week, and I hope clear up the confusion. We're providing what was requested on the checklist. I think that's one of those items that I cited where the checklist said no, but members of the community are asking for it. So that's something that we can talk about on your guys' call next week.
Great. That answers it. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Does anyone else have any questions for Rob? Okay, Rob, thanks very much. That was great. And let's move on to item three then. And this is the first of the items that we will be considering a motion on this evening. So if you turn to the wiki, you will find the motion that we first considered at the San Francisco meeting that was made by John. In the interest of time, I won't ask John to read the motion again, especially as it's a very long one. But perhaps just the resolved clauses, that might be useful, especially as there
has been a friendly amendment made to the motion that was accepted, I believe, by John and Debbie, who seconded it. So, John, would you mind reading just the resolved clause as they stand now with the friendly amendments?
Not at all, Stefan. I think if you're online right now, you can pretty easily see the differences, deferring one and amending some of the other language. But resolve, the council defers consideration of the WHOIS registrant identification study until the April 28, 2011 meeting, and requests that any applicable motions in that regard be submitted not later than April 20th, 2011. Further resolve that the council requests ICANSTAF amend the study to include the registry proposed changes. You can, Stefan, do you want to read the whole thing, or is it fairly, well, I guess Tim is on a
Yeah, please do, John. The idea
I will.
Of just,
I will.
Just
so there
the
is
idea
a,
of reading out these motions, just for people who are listening in on the audio cast and don't have the text in front of them.
So we want to amend the study to include the registry's proposed changes and to proceed with the WHOIS privacy and proxy abuse study as described in the staff's October 5, 2010 report as amended, using the vendor selection process described in that same report. Further resolve that the council requests ICANN staff to proceed with the WHOIS privacy and proxy relay and reveal pre-study survey as proposed in staff's February 11, 2011 report. Further resolve that the council requests that the board authorize additional funding for FY 2012 for WHOIS studies to make up any shortfall of $130,000 between the amount of at least $400,000 that was allocated for WHOIS studies in FY 2011 and remains unspent, and the total amount needed to conduct the WHOIS misuse study, $150,000, if subsequently approved. The WHOIS registrant identification study, $150,000, the proxy privacy abuse study, $150,000, and the proxy and privacy pre-study, $80,000, a total of $530,000. Further resolved, in recognition that there is a substantial amount of coordination needed to direct this research, that staff be given the discretion to manage the studies serially or in parallel, with a goal of expediting completion of the studies as efficiently as possible.
Thank you very much, John. Can I open this up for discussion? Does anyone want to ask any questions or say anything regarding this motion before we proceed with the vote? I heard someone very faint. Was that you, Adrian?
Stefan, it's me, mate. Can you hear me?
I'm sorry?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Is that you, Adrian?
Yes, it's Adrian.
Yeah, please go ahead.
I just a very small point, and I hope I'm not being problematic. It just occurred to me that potentially we should be writing US dollars whenever we mention a monetary amount. I don't know whether that's something that anyone else feels strongly on, but probably helps when this is being published.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Can someone from staff amend the motion in that way? I don't think we need a friendly amendment for that, but that would certainly help make it clearer. I think it's a good point. Does anyone else have any comments or questions? Would anyone be opposed to a voice vote on this? Glenn, please do a voice vote on this motion.
Stefan?
Yes?
This is Christina. Am I off mute?
You are now.
Yeah, we, within the IPC, we're still, there's a number of people who still are going over the proposed changes and are not really quite clear on all of them. So it would be the preference of the IPC if we could defer the vote until the next meeting, given the changes.
This poses sort of a conundrum, because we've already deferred the motion once, and I don't think our practice is to defer a motion more than once.
Right, but it's a different motion.
No, it's the same motion that's just been amended, which doesn't count as a different motion. Perhaps, I mean, I would be happy to, if there is a problem within the IPC understanding the changes, to ask if anyone would be violently opposed to this motion being deferred for another meeting. Is there no opposition to this? Well, in that case, Christina, I certainly don't have a problem with it.
I appreciate that. I guess one thing that would be helpful to know, and the answer may be Jeff Newman, but to the extent that there are folks within the IPC who have questions, if there is a point person to whom those questions should be directed, that would be helpful to know.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you could ask some of those questions now while we're discussing it, that might help, but I guess the question you've just asked means that you don't have the full list.
Well, no, the problem is that I'm not the lead on who is, so I guess you can kind of – I'm not in a position to ask all the questions.
Yeah.
I can tell you that some of the questions that have been posed have to do with the control that's been proposed for one of the studies. I'm just trying to kind of scroll through all of the email. There's been a lot of email on the IPC list about the changes and just trying to understand what the follow-on implications are.
Jeff, you've got your hand up, so do you have a preliminary answer for Christina?
Yeah, I think there's a small group that was formed and Liz was a part of it. Liz Gassner, Steve DelBianco, Kathy Kleiman, Chuck Gomes, and Don Blumenthal. If you have any questions, I mean, maybe direct them. That small group would be happy to reconvene and to explain the changes if you all want to have a call between now and the next meeting.
That would be very helpful. I suspect I'll take them up on that offer. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thanks, everyone, for allowing us to bend the rules slightly on this one. I think it is useful if people have problems or questions that are outstanding to give them time to get those answered, unless we're voting on something that's absolutely critical. So I appreciate everyone's input and cooperation on this. This item having been deferred, let's move on to item 4, which is a motion that was made by Christina and seconded by Zahid that was also carried over from the San Francisco meeting and that pertains to the RAA. There again, I don't want to ask Christina to read the full motion. In fact, even the resolved clauses are quite long. So perhaps you will exceptionally allow me not to ask the person making the motion to read it out and just move straight to the discussion. If there is any on this subject, please speak up or raise your hand in Adobe.
Stefan, it's Adrian Kinner. I'd like to discuss.
Yes. Yeah, please. Please go ahead, Adrian. Can you hear me?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Sorry.
Please go
yes.
Speak.
Yes, sorry about that. Yeah, look, I think in reading this, and you'll have to apologize, it's relatively early here and my brain is still coming together, but it concerns me greatly the way that the registrars have been painted, both... Well, publicly, due to this motion, it's an issue that I think affects the certain sectors of the community and not just registrars. And for registrars being prepared to stand up for something they believe in and to catch such criticism, I think is really disappointing. And we're being tarred with a brush. That is reflecting very, very badly on our industry as a whole, and that's all of us. And, I'm trying to choose my words very carefully here, but needless to say, it's very, very disappointing to see some of the blog posts and items that have gone out. That said, I noticed there have been no blog posts and no comments whatsoever on the fact that the ICM registry agreement was negotiated and signed just recently, and no one who has purported that the registrars are out of line have come forward and said that ICANN or the registries are out of line here for not allowing the exact same for allowing the exact same process to go forward. So it is a concern to me that why is this all being? I understand the RRA is the vehicle here, but there is a greater what the registrars would have you see that there is a bigger issue at play that, as I say, impacts the entire industry and all contracts, not just the RRA. So. I would, especially those that are purporting to say that the registrars are completely in the wrong here and way out of line, I'd like to hear some response about what they think with respect to the ICM registry and why they didn't come forward and why they haven't chastised ICANN in the same particular way or indeed the registries in the same particular way. Thank you.
Thank you, Adrian. Some people on the Adobe chat are saying that they could barely hear you, which is a pity because I think you're making some very good points, but I could hear you fine. I hope it was okay for most other people. Jeff, you have your hand up next.
Yeah, so I'm not going to address Adrian's comments for the same reason that we're going to basically stress the statement that we made on March, statement made that March 16th, I think, is the date. It's on the GNSO website, so we just want to reintroduce that into the record. I do think it's a shame that this is being portrayed by groups without looking at that statement or reading the words that we put down, since a good amount of time was spent on that. But we're just reintroducing that into the record for this motion.
Thank you, Jeff. Jonathan.
Essentially, it's the same point as Jeff, Stefan, so I won't waste time on it. But there's a clear statement that links the two groups' positions, and they wouldn't necessarily be linked, but they were linked in this case.
Thank you. I have Alan next.
Thank you. I'll make a quick comment on what Adrian said, and I'm not one of the bloggers or people who have made a strong statement on this. I think the real difference here is that the RAA, as interpreted by ICANN Legal Counsel, says the GNSO does have a role to play. And if that indeed is changed, then if ICANN Legal Counsel would say so, the situation might be different. I don't see this as an attempt to get in on every contract negotiation. That certainly is something that people have proposed, but I'm not sure that we can generalize this particular motion in that way. So I really think it's core to how the RAA revision was done last time, and we're just basically following the process that we were told was the required process last time around. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Jonathan, do you still have your hand up?
No.
Okay. Does anyone else want to speak or comment before we move on to the vote? Okay. Is anyone opposed to a voice vote on this?
I'd like a roll call, please.
Glenn, could you please do... That was Christina, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Glenn, could you please do a roll call vote on this motion, please?
I will do a roll call vote for you, Stefan. Olga Cavelli.
Yes.
Jeff Newman.
No.
Carlos for Andre Koleshnikov.
Yes.
Mary Wong and Bill Drake for Mary Wong, please.
Yes.
Wendy Seltzer and Refik Demek for Wendy Seltzer, please. Rafik, can you hear us? I will come back to you. Christina Rosette.
Yes.
Stefan van Gelder.
No.
Bill Drake, for yourself. Bill Drake?
Yes.
Deborah Hughes?
Yes.
Jonathan Robinson?
No.
Adrian Kinderis?
No.
Jamie Wagner?
Yes.
Rosemary Sinclair?
Yes.
Rafik, are you on the line yet? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Rafik, yes. For Wendy Seltzer, please.
Yes, and for myself, yes.
Okay, thank you. Zahid Jamil?
Yes.
Tim Ruiz?
No.
John Berard?
Yes.
Chin Chow?
No.
David Taylor?
Yes.
Wolf Ulrich Knobin?
Yes.
And have I called out everybody? Yes.
Did you call Stefan van Gelder? I didn't hear that one.
Yes, I did. Stefan voted no. Is that correct, Stefan?
Yes, that is correct.
Contracted Parties House, 6 no votes, 1 pardon?
Just a minute. I hear someone speaking.
Sorry, Glenn. It's Adrian Kinderis here. Can you hear me?
Yes, Adrian.
It's my understanding, Andrei Kolesnikov, he proxied his vote, and the vote was in favour. He has emailed our stakeholder group telling us he would vote against. So I'm not sure whether there's been a miscommunication there or he was selling us a dummy, but that's just to be noted at least.
Carlos, can you confirm that vote that you made for Andre?
Yes, Stefan, I confirm that is yes. I received instructions by Andre. The vote for motion is yes.
Okay. Thank you to you both for making those points. Glenn, sorry to have interrupted you.
No, that's all right. Can I also confirm that I saw that vote that was sent for Carlos to vote on, and it was yes. Perhaps we should find out when his email came to you, Adrian, or when you saw an email from...
Well, I think
it was about a week ago. So we'll chase that up with Andre directly.
I think we
follow up with him after the fact. Can we do that? But
yes.
Instead of debating it here.
Okay. Well, there are 6 no votes in the contracted party house, 1 yes vote. And in the non-contracted party house, there are 13 yes votes.
So we do not have the required percentage in the contracted party's house. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So the motion fails.
And we have got Dan Halloran on the call who can talk, I think, if there are any problems. Okay, thank you, Stefan.
Glenn and Stefan, this is Christina. I have a
yes?
statement that I'd like to read in the record, please.
Yes, please, Christina.
And this statement has been supported by those non-contracted party house counselors who have had the opportunity to review it. It's my understanding that there may be one or two who have not yet had that opportunity. But at this point, there is unanimous support among the counselors. The non-contracted party's house is disappointed. Yes?
Christina, just before you start reading it, is there any way you can send it to someone, the person that's handling the Adobe, because it would be much easier for us to follow it, I think, if we can read it there as well.
Sure. Who do I send that to?
Is that something you can do?
Can you send it to Marika?
Marika's the person, right.
All right, now I'm going to have to track that.
Sorry to...
No, that's fine. I'm happy to do it. I don't have her email address handy, so...
It will take a few minutes also
to
upload
it.
Instantaneously. Yeah,
okay. Well, in that case, don't bother. And if you can send it to... I'm sure you were going to send it to the council list anyway, so... Sorry, please go ahead and read it.
Okay, sure. The non-contracted party's house is disappointed and concerned by the outcome of today's vote on the process for proposing RAA amendments and strongly objects to the manner with which the contracted party's house approached the process regarding proposed further RAA amendments. Today's vote was a good faith attempt by the NCPH to achieve a workable compromise with the CPH based on the working group's final report. That report documented strong support by the community for a negotiation process that would have included a limited role for observers. We remind the GNSO community that a previous motion to adopt that recommendation in full failed because of a negative vote by the CPH. Today's motion was based on the other alternative recommended in the final report, which had been crafted by registrar members of the working group. The failure of this alternative compromise motion, due to the CPH voting as a block against it, signals to us that the CPH does not support ICANN's multi-stakeholder consensus model, where its own interests are at stake, underscores the CPH's ability to gridlock the multi-stakeholder model, and effectively eliminates the ability of Internet users and registrants to have a say in fundamental issues which impact them directly. We wish to remind the registrar stakeholder group that the constituencies making up the NCPH approved the prior RAA amendments in 2009, only after the registrar constituency agreed to, quote, participate on a good faith basis on anticipated next steps, close quote, in developing a process for considering further RAA amendments. The wholesale rejection by the registrar stakeholder group of two potential ways forward, one of which is modeled on a proposal by registrar personnel, and the refusal to propose other alternatives, is wholly inconsistent with the stated commitment to participate on a good faith basis. While we hope that the registrar constituency did not intentionally mislead us in 2009, we are left with no other explanation. Thank you.
Thank you, Christina. I'm sure there will be comments made in response. Jeff.
Yeah, so thank you, Christina, for making that statement, and I appreciate it. I just want to note for the record that there were several problems with even the second motion that were identified at the meeting in San Francisco, one of them being the fact that the GNSO was determining what falls within and outside the picket fence, second one being a presumption that where registrars disagreed with what the community wanted, that they must go back and compromise and do the process all over again in a completely repetitive fashion. The third one is the fact that there were very strict timelines in there, again, with the presumption that changes must be made. So there were three reasons that were identified within San Francisco. None of those were addressed or modified by the non-contracted parties, and therefore, since there were no changes to that, there was no choice but to vote in the exact same manner in which we had were prepared to vote in San Francisco.
If I can respond, Stefan, I specifically said that I would welcome suggested changes in the dates, and I didn't receive any. Had I received them, I would have been happy to consider them.
Can I just let Tim speak and then come back?
Sure, absolutely.
I'm sure that there'll be other questions for you. And I'll just note that your text has been put up, so if people want to read it, it's on the Adobe right now. Thanks to Marika for doing that. Tim.
Yeah, I just wanted to reiterate what something I guess we tried to explain in the public meeting in San Francisco, and that is that
you know, it was a relatively small number of registrars, you know, in comparison to the whole membership of the registrar's constituency or the registrar's stakeholder group that actually participated in that. And so their views or what they may have, you know, offered or pinned, whatever, that wasn't a consensus view of the stakeholder group. But, of course, as counselors, you know, that's what we're concerned with, is that we represent the consensus views of our stakeholder group. So if there appears to be a difference there, that probably explains it. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much, Tim. Christina, is there anything you want to respond to, or does anyone else have anything to say?
Other than what I said, no.
Okay. Thank you very much. If no one else has anything to say, we'll move on to item 5. And this is a vote on a motion to adopt the charter for the standing committee that has been tasked with looking at the work that has been carried out by the OSC and the PPSC, the two steering committees that are tasked with overseeing the GNSO improvements. The motion was made by Wolf, seconded by Mary and Jonathan. And Wolf, perhaps I can ask you to just read through the motion, which is quite short, but not the charter, obviously, which is a bit longer.
Yes, thank you. Fans, and I'm happy to do that. I wonder whether I should something explain around this charter, or do you just want me to read the motion? And you suppose, well, that the charter is known by the members.
Yeah, please just read the motion.
Okay. Whereas the GNSO Council resolved at its meeting on the 8th December 2010 to establish a drafting team to draft a charter for a standing committee to track and coordinate implementation of those OSC, PPSC and work team recommendations already approved by the Council and adopted as recommended by the Communications and Coordination Work Team in its final report of 9th April 2010, whereas a drafting team has formed and its members have developed a charter for consideration by the GNSO Council, resolved. The GNSO Council hereby adopts the charter for the Standing Committee on Improvement Implementation as proposed, in bracket C here under. The GNSO Council instructs the GNSO Secretariat to send a request for volunteers to those entities identified in the Charter as eligible for member and observer status of the Standing Committee. The GNSO Council appoints as the interim chair of the Standing Committee, who will serve as the interim chair until the Standing Committee has elected its own chair. Yes, that's it. And then the charter is following.
Thank you very much, Wolf. Tim, do you have a question on this? Tim?
I didn't put my hand down, which I'm doing right now.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Jeff?
Yeah, has anyone, I guess this is a question, has anyone gone through maybe from staff side to make sure that the charter complies with the working group guidelines that were passed by the council a few weeks ago, that there's nothing that conflicts with that?
Who are you asking the question?
I guess it would be ICANN staff or the drafting team.
Jeff, if I may answer to that, so we were talking about that, and we have in the charter implemented that we rely on the working group recommendations and the working group recommendation on that, and we were talking about that. Marika, do you have a further comment on that?
this is Marika. No, that's correct. We've basically indicated that the SCI should follow the working group guidelines as deemed appropriate, apart from, of course, those areas that have specifically been identified in the charter as applying for such as, for example, the membership, how the committee is structured, and how it operates. So, but we did check that.
Okay. Any further comments, questions? Is anyone opposed to a voice vote on this? Glenn, please do a voice vote on this motion.
Certainly, Stefan. All those in favour of the motion, please say aye.
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 Aye. All those against the motion, please say nay. Is there anyone abstaining from this motion?
It's Wolf. I'm just abstaining to the part of the appointment of the chairman.
Thank you. Stefan, the motion passes.
Thank you very much, Glenn.
Except for Wolf's abstention. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So let's move on to item six, and that is an item on the joint CCNSO, GNSO, IDN working group called the JIG, or dubbed the JIG, and that group has produced a report on single character IDN TLDs. We have, before we move on to the actual motion itself and the vote, we are lucky to have Edmund with us. I know it's late for you, Edmund, or early, so thank you very much for agreeing to be with us and to take us through an update and an explanation of the final report that we are going to be voting to approve or not. So thank you very much, and please go ahead. Sounds ominous. Can you hear me?
Thank you, Stefan. Yeah.
Great.
Can everyone hear me fine?
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Stefan, and thank you for having me on this call. As Stefan mentioned, we'll give a walkthrough, brief walkthrough of the findings on the single character IDN TLDs from the JIG. So I think there's I prepared a presentation slides. Marika is probably handling that, so we can advance the slide. Is that okay? I guess people can see the next slide. All right. So just a quick background. It's the JIG formed as a mutual charter between the CCNSO and the GNSO and to identify issues of common interest on IDN TLDs. Next slide, please. In terms of the charter, it was formed with sort of five members from the CCNSO and five members from the GNSO, with the respective chairs as observers. Beyond those sort of members, there were also observers. So next slide. And also we had some of the board members as observers, as well as good support from the staff. So next slide. Since March of 2010, we have been having biweekly conference calls. We identified three issues of common interest: single character IDN TLDs, IDN variant TLDs, and universal acceptance of IDN TLDs. Most of the time since early last year was spent on the single character IDN TLDs, which is the final report, which forms the final report that we presented. We have face-to-face meetings in Brussels, Cartagena, and San Francisco. We had a specific public meeting on to gather the input for the single character IDM TLDs in Cartagena as well, and the final report does reflect the input gathered from that. So, next slide, just about the single character IDM TLDs. Next slide, the. So an initial report was published in July, and public comments sought. Public comments were summarized and then incorporated into the draft final report. The draft final report also included, of course, some specific recommendations. That also went out for public comments in December last year, and those the comments were summarized and then also addressed and responded to and incorporated into the final report that is now presented to the council. So next slide. So just quickly in terms of the substance, a lot of the work from the JIG on this was based on previous work, including the GNSO IDN working group and the IDN implementation work team report from you know, previous discussions. We identified six areas of policy aspects specific to single character IDN TLDs. I won't go through them specifically, but it includes financial considerations, include the confusability issues. It includes the IDN CCTLD and IDN GTLD, the distinguish, how to distinguish between them. So, and on each of the aspects, we spent time discussing, you know, how to address them, and so next slide. And the final report reflects that reflects the result of the discussion, and also made four concrete recommendations to allow the introduction of single character IDN TLDs. In the final report, we also had drafted suggested editorial changes to the IDN CCTLD fast track implementation plan, as well as the new GTLD applicant guidebook, such that you know, just to provide suggestions that there are more suggestions for staff to consider for implementation. So that it sort of reflects the recommendation from the group, and of course in the appendices it also includes the our summary and responses to the public comments received for both initial report and the draft final report. Next slide. So just quickly on the actual recommendations, it's fairly straightforward. 4 points. First two are really simply to state that we would recommend the introduction of single character IDN TLDs for IDN CCTLDs as well as IDN GTLDs. Just taking note that the IDN CCTLD doesn't really have a length requirement unlike the ASCII CCTLDs and similarly the GTLD as well. And number three was just a definition on what we mean by a single character because of the many linguistic and technical possible definitions. We decided to basically adopt an earlier position, but into a more formal. And the fourth one is really the one of substance. We, besides recommending single character IDN TLDs strings to be allowed, that we specifically mentioned that it should not be A single character ID and TLD should not be confusingly similar to single or two character ASCII TLDs, and also added that for especially for alphabetic script single character ID and TLDs, other technical aspects of confusability may be taken into consideration in its evaluation. These include such as the likelihood of user slip with relevance to keyboard layouts because it's only a single keystroke. So next slide. And we also, throughout the discussion and also through the different public comment period and our public meeting in Cartagena, a number of items were repeatedly brought up on geographic names, on similarity, confusability, on intellectual property rights as well. We've looked into all of them. Basically, most of them are not specific to single character ID and TLDs because they are issues that are being addressed at other forums as well. So, but we did make an effort to emphasize that all other restrictions are do apply to single character ID and TLDs. A lot of them are, not specific to single character. And the final report includes the ones that are specific to single character ID and TLD. Next slide. And just to let you know that the suggested edits to the new GTLD applicant guidebook that's included, the two main areas. One, to update number of characters allowed for ID and GTLD strings from two characters to one character, and also some edits to the string evaluation parts to incorporate what we mentioned in recommendation D in the final report. So next slide. So that's pretty much the end of it. And just before I guess we open, I think when the group was formed and as we continue the work, we sort of had a commitment that the work produced from the working group may or may not make it into the GTLD first round because it was agreed that our work would not interfere with the implementation of the new GTLDs. I do understand that, and we continue to hold that commitment. However, looking at the board direction and the time frame, that's why we speed up some of the process at the very end to try to make it into the next version, which was expected to be April 15th. And this is why this is the a motion is put forward today, and I really appreciate it being considered. I understand, while we were not looking to interfere with the progress, it's separate. It would be very useful if all the hard work that the community put in last year could be taken into account. Since the timing is right now, looking at the timing, it would be. It would be great if we could put it forward. So that's just a point. And hopefully people will find the work useful. And, this is, again, one of those joint working groups. And I think we've taken a fairly comprehensive and deliberative approach. And hopefully this would be a useful report for the GNSO and for implementation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Edmund, for making this report, and please convey the Council's thanks to the JIG for their hard work. I see a number of hands up already, so please don't go away. There may be some questions for you. Adrian.
Can you hear me okay, Stefan?
Yes.
Succinct, hopefully. Edmund, I just wanted to thank you very much for the report and to the group. Thank you for the work done. I have circulated this with a number of my technical staff, and they've all come back very, very impressed. and supportive, and to that I will be voting yes on the motion today.
Thank you, Adrian. Christina.
Sorry about that. I just wanted to follow up, Edmund, and make sure that I'm clear on that, on this one particular point, and it may involve staff input from those who are on the phone. As you and I have discussed offline, you know, ordinarily the IPC would request a deferral on this simply because it is a very complex issue and we want to make sure that we've fully gotten our minds around it. However, if a vote in support today means that this goes in the guidebook on April 15th and a deferral or a vote against means that it doesn't, then obviously we need to take a different approach. So I was hoping I could get kind of a definitive statement on that point.
Edmund, any?
Well, of course we won't be, we can't be sure. I'm sure the staff is working on you know, the version of the applicant guidebook. I think if we are able to move it forward, at least it will be considered. Again, you know, we have some specific editorial suggestions, and we did have staff input throughout, and we, in fact, we had made significant changes to the approach of how to implement the recommendations based on staff input. But, you know, if you ask me whether, you know, it will certainly be in, I can answer for staff, I guess, and not sure whether anyone from staff would be willing to answer that. But at least I think it therefore be considered, and if it's not taken into consideration or not implemented or implement that slightly differently, at least we would get a response on what I would suppose we would get a response on why and, you know, at least it's being considered.
Okay, Christine?
Well, I hate to put Dan Halloran on the spot, but I'm going to, just looking at who from staff is on the call. Dan, do you know the answer to that?
Christine, this is Dan. Sorry to admit it, but I've been working on something else at the time. Can you repeat the question, or is someone else?
Well, the question is that the IPC would ordinarily request deferral on this motion simply because it's a complex one, and we want to make sure that we have sufficient, you know, the time that we need to fully explore it. However, it's my understanding that if the council votes in support of these recommendations today, then the recommendations will be able to go into the guidebook as it comes out on April 15th. However, if the council either does not vote today or votes against, then they won't go in the guidebook. So I'm just trying to kind of figure out kind of what the lay of the land is so I can figure out within the discretion that I've gotten from IPC leadership what I can and cannot do.
Yeah, Christine, so I'll have to check at least with Kurt. We'll try to get back to you as soon as we can, maybe in a few minutes if we can, but I don't know enough about that issue on my own to comment.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Ching.
Hi, Stefan. I will probably, for the sake of time, I'll probably skip that. I won't address what Edmund has said. Thank you.
Okay, you do have time, and I will be asking you to read the motion as well if you can. But if you do want to make a comment, please do so.
Sure, I will probably just go direct. Do you want me to read the whole motion or just the resolution part?
Well, the whole motion is not that long, so perhaps it might be helpful to people for you to read the whole text.
Sure, with pleasure. Oh, okay, so whereas the joint CCNSO/GNSO-IDN working group, JIG, was created by mutual charters of the CCNSO link and the GNSO link. The JIG identified three issues of common interest. First, single character IDN TOD, second, IDN variant TODs, and third, universal acceptance of IDN TODs. The JIG has issued an initial report link for public comments link and thereupon a draft final report link for public comments link and have incorporated the comments into and has reached consensus on the final report on single character IDMs, DODs. The JIG recommendations are consistent with the GNSO final report on the introduction of new top-level domain links, including the GNSO IDN working group final outcomes report link and the GNSO reserve name working group link on the issues of single character IDN GTOD. And the JIG recommendation suggested implementable measures for the acceptance of single character IDN GTODs. Result, the GNSO Council approved the JIG final report on single character IDN TODs and forward the report to the ICANN board and staff for its implementation into the next version of the new GTOD applicant guidebook. Resolve further that the GNSO Council hereby expresses its appreciation to the JIG for their hard work and look forward to receiving further reports on IDN variant TOD and universal acceptance of IDN TOD. Thank you, Stefan.
Thank you very much, Ching. Does anyone have any further discussion on the motion? Is anyone opposed to a voice vote on this motion? Glenn, please.
I'm sorry. This is Christina. If I can abstain by voice vote, then that's what I'd like to do. But if we need to have a roll call, then I think that's what we're going to have to do. Sorry.
You can abstain by voice vote, but if you want a roll call, we'll do it.
No. I'm fine with a voice vote. I just didn't know I could abstain by voice vote. So we're good.
Okay. I thought I heard someone else.
This is Tim. Sorry, I couldn't raise my hand right now.
No problem.
I thought we were going to try to wait a few minutes, or is that not the case? Get Christina's question answered, or what will it matter in the vote? I don't know.
I wasn't clear on whether we'd get an answer in the next few minutes or not.
Okay.
So,
could just come on the line, Stefan.
Who has?
Kurt, I see he's
Kurt
on the
has
line.
Just come on. Kurt, do you have an answer for Christina's question? Did you hear it? Would you like us to repeat it?
Yes, I would like Christina to repeat it. Hi, Christina.
Sure. Hi, Kurt. Thanks for joining. I appreciate it. Here's the question that the IPC has with this motion is this. Is the inclusion of this recommendation in the April 15 guidebook dependent on a vote in support today? In other words, if it's deferred until next, in other words, if there is a vote in support today, is it automatically going in the guidebook?
So I think the really short answer is no, and but it's with a big caveat. I read the report, and I'm not sure that but I haven't read it in a little while, so I'm not sure that the results of the report are directly implementable into the guidebook without some additional consultation. So I don't want to commit to being able to implement availability for the single letter IDNs until we've had a chance to reread the report and then ask clarifying questions, or even if something's unclear to us, ask for further guidance from the GNSO.
So just as a follow-up, and I apologize, but just so that I'm clear, is it the case then that if the IPC were to request a deferral to our next meeting, which falls after April 15th, then there is no way that the JIG recommendation would be implemented in first round?
There are too many negatives in that question. So there's going to be two versions of the guidebook, one around April 15th, and it better be on April 15th, I guess, and one on May 30th. So it could be included in the May 30th version of the guidebook if it doesn't make the April 15th version of the guidebook.
All right, thank you.
So would that be a risk? Is it fair to say that would be a risk of not having them included in there if we don't vote on this today?
Yeah, so I think, the later it is, the higher the risk. I think the important thing is that we read the report and be able to ask our clarifying questions regarding how it might be implemented. And so I don't know, you know, I don't know the rules, and maybe some of my somebody else can inform me, but I don't know if a vote's required for us to do that or not. You know, and if we were to take the report as written, as if it were approved, we could still ask the same questions, right? Unless some sort of approval is actually required for us to ask questions, but we could undertake an effort to read the report and ask clarifying questions.
Yeah, to the extent the report's out there already, I don't really see why you shouldn't be able to read it.
I mean, the risk is if the report changes, you know, between now and when it's approved, that the questions might become moot. But certainly, we'd be willing to read the report and ask those questions. And you know, even if it's not approved, if that's helpful to anyone.
Okay, great. I think that's helpful. Thanks. Jeff, you have a question?
Yeah, and I'm sorry if I missed this, if it was already covered, but since this is a joint group, even if we approve it, has the CCs, have they approved it? Anybody know?
Edmund, is that something? Sorry.
Sure. I think the setup of the charter and also the intent of the working group is that this report now would go to the respective councils, and the councils would take it on their own process. And for the CCNSO side, we are going through a similar process, but for the CCNSO side, because there is the CCIDN PDP that's ongoing, so this would go into as input for that, and as well as the review for the IDN CCTLD fast track. So it's a little bit different situation for the CCNSO. Whereas, you know, for the GNSO, there's a "quote unquote" imminent timeline that we're looking towards. So that's a little bit different. And if I may, just in terms of responding to Christina's question as well, I think and to Kurt, I think it would definitely be useful for the General Council to let the board and staff know that this. Could move forward so that they could take it into consideration, and as Kurt said, you know, the later the higher risk that it wouldn't be incorporated, but at least it would be considered more officially or formally once this report is passed through the council, because ultimately, as Kurt said, you know, until it approves the report, it wouldn't. It wouldn't sort of be final based on the charter. But based on the charter, the final report would be respectively go to each council separately. So that's sort of a response to both Christina and Jeff's question.
Thank you, Edmund. Jeff, you had a follow-up.
Yeah, so on that, I mean, it's clear we can approve the report as a GNSO. I'm not sure without the CCTLDs agreeing that we could forward the report to the board. That said, I mean, obviously I don't want to hold anything up. It seems like the only thing we could really forward to the board would be specific recommendations related only to the GNSO, you know, maybe the new GTLD process. But like, you know, the first recommendation about one character IDN fast track, it doesn't seem like we actually have the authority to send that to the board, and I don't know if Christine is still asking for a deferral or not. If there is a deferral, and again, I'm not asking for it, but if there is a deferral, then it would seem to be that what should come back at the next meeting would be a motion to only send to the board those resolutions related to the new GTLD process that we, the GNSO, have the authority to send to the board.
Christina.
Just to answer Jeff's question, although David and I had originally been instructed to request a deferral, we absolutely do not want to be responsible for holding this up in light of the importance of it to the IDN community. So it was our plan to actually abstain.
Thank you. Ching.
Hi, Stefan, and just want to quick comment, and perhaps I'd like to also ask Edmund to comment on it. My question on that particular procedural issue is that I'm just seeing sort of a if the GNSO and both the GNSO and CCNSO approve this this recommendation on the single character IDN. So I'm hearing what Kurt says that there could or they might not be a implementable plan to be incorporated in the May 30th. Applicant guidebook. I'm just trying to double check. Am I hearing you right? Is there still a process within the ICANN staff that this recommendation may not be implementable in the final version? Just want to follow. And maybe Edmund, you can maybe add on more on to what I just said.
You've asked a question.
Yeah, sure.
Go on, Edmund.
No, I guess Kurt can add to it, but I guess again, it's the earlier the council would be able to resolve. The earlier the staff would look into it, I'm guessing. Just on response to Jeff. I think that's why the resolution before the council is specific on the new GTLD part, which is the resolve part, is specific on the new GTLD implementation part and not on the CCTLD site. So, you know, that has been taken into consideration. At this point, there's no reason that CCNSO wouldn't approve, but of course, until that's done, we can't be sure. But the indications and there are participants from the CCNSO as well through a process. So yes, I think you know what you raise is correct, and then that's the intent for which is included in the resolution.
Yeah, and I would suggest that as this group comes out of a charter that we approved, we have tasked the group with doing a certain amount of things. I understand Jeff's point, but I think unless there are questions, and this is a personal comment, but unless there are questions with the actual report itself, or questions such as the one that Christina is asking about understanding the end result, then we should probably not concern ourselves with sending the report to the board or what the result of our vote would be. We should be voting if we want to approve the report or not, but not voting and thinking about what's going to happen with respect to the report going to the board or going to other people afterwards. What we're doing here is part of the natural work that we should be doing. There's a group that we helped create, and it's come back with a final report, and it's up to us to consider that report or not. Jeff.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think about what it would be like if it were the opposite, that the CCTLDs had addressed something as a council and we hadn't yet, and then they forwarded to the board, including recommendations on GTLD stuff. I think it would be kind of, I don't think we would like that very much. Perhaps the motion could be, the resolve clause could be, because the resolution doesn't just say approve the report. It says approve the report, forward it to the board for implementation of the new GTLDs. Can we say, perhaps, approve the JIG report, blah, 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 forward to the board, and staff for implementation of recommendations number, whatever those numbers are, in the new GTLD process, just so it's clear we're only focusing on those specific recommendations?
So you are proposing a friendly amendment, I guess.
I mean, if you guys, and I'm not looking at the report right now, but if there are specific numbered recommendations that we're there, that we're telling them to implement, that, to me, may soften the procedural problem that we have.
Please go ahead.
Thank you. So I guess it, in terms of the recommendations, there were four: A, B, C, D. B, C, and D would be A would be specific on CCTLDs. B, C, and D would be GTLDs in general. And then in terms of the final report, section four is the one that's specific for IDNC-CTLDs, and so section five is the one specific for the GTLD part, if you want to incorporate that into the...
Can you give us a... I know you've kind of addressed this already, but you must have been... talking to the CCNFO throughout this as well, or maybe there's a liaison to the group. Could you give us an idea of where they are on this in terms of how they would view our actions on it today?
I guess I can't speak for them, but so far this will be an agenda item for next council meeting. As I mentioned, the approach for the CCNSO part is more that it's being taken as input into their ongoing PDP. So that's a little bit different than the situation here. And so far, though, a lot of the aspects of the final report has been comments from CCTLD, the CCNSO, and it has been incorporated into the final reports.
Okay, because one of the points that I'm not clear on from the points that you're making, Jeff, is that the first resolve does state in the next version of the new GTLD applicant guidebook. So it obviously cannot be anything to do with the CCNSO or the CCs because we're dealing... you know, with the new GTLDs, and asking for the board and staff to look at possible implementation issues with the next version of the DAG. So I'm just thinking if I understand what you're trying to do, I'm just thinking if it's necessary. And seeing you've got your hand up.
Yeah, I just think for political reasons, you don't want to be forwarding an entire report to the board from a joint group if the joint group hasn't fully approved it. I'm fine with taking recommendations out of that report and approving them as the GNSO, specifically with relation to the three that Edmund had mentioned. But I'm not necessarily comfortable forwarding it, because, again, I think of it in the reverse. If the CCs had gotten to this before we had even a chance to discuss it or vote on it, would we be happy that the entire report is forwarded to the board, that they're, you know, the stuff that's related to GTLDs we didn't even get a chance to discuss? So
so
my recommendation is we can approve the final report, and essentially we take away the forward the report to the board, and we would just say we request staff implement recommendations, the three that Edmund had mentioned, in the new GTLD process or of the guidebook, whatever it is at the end there.
Well, how about I agree with taking out the forward the report to the ICANN board part, but how about just saying that we approve the final report and pending CCNSO approval, then recommend that it be forwarded?
This is Edmund. Can I try to
yes,
add?
Yes, please do.
Thank you. So I guess, of course, you know, we probably shouldn't have to wait for, as a pending from the CCNSO Council. I think, again, it should be a separate item. If I can suggest the motion could be changed slightly, that the GNS Council approves the JIG final report on single character ID and TLDs. Instead of that, we can say the aspects regarding GTLDs from the JIG final report on single character ID and TLDs. And then thereupon, rather than, you know, to identify specific clauses in the report. So just as a suggestion, perhaps to add it specific to the GTLD part there.
Stefan, it's Adrian. Can I comment?
Yes, please do. Alan was actually, he's been waiting for a long time. Can I get to you just after Alan, Adrian?
No problems.
Thank you. Alan.
Yeah, I think I don't actually see the need for doing any of this, to be honest, but if we want to, then I suggested some words in the chat of adding the phrase to the extent that they are relevant to the new GTLD process or something like that. Recommendations B, C, and D also apply to the CCTLD process, so we're not recommending to the board that they fully implement these, but just the aspects that are relevant to the GTLD. And I think a simple phrase without identifying the particular resolutions will cover that.
Thank you. Adrian?
I'm just looking for the four horsemen of the apocalypse because I believe Alan just said exactly what I was about to say.
Heavens!
Okay.
I would just say, where it pertains to GTLDs is all you need to do. But yes, I think we can move on.
Yeah, I agree. That it does seem to make a lot of sense. So, Marika, I know you're trying to type as we go along in Adobe. The motion that then the first resolve you just add as it pertains to the new GTLDs. Jeff, would that answer your concerns?
And you're taking out the forwards to the board?
No. Because that's the whole point of approving a report.
Yes. A joint group. This is one of my issues with joint groups. One group in a joint group should not feel free to forward things to the board until the other group actually agrees with it. If you look at my words on the chat, I think it solves the problem.
So what do we do with the report then?
Stefan, can I jump in?
Yes.
I have a recommendation here, and I think Bill has just typed in saying that the board will understand is that this is a joint working group, and I think the board will understand where we are coming from because this is one report, and I think potentially what we are doing here is that a joint group produced a report, and here as in GNSO, we are sort of leading to a way to sort of to separate what we would agree, and we would probably not in a position or not in the capability to approve what we may not feel comfortable to approve, which is the CCNSO part, but I would like to sort of to reiterate and to remind the council again is that first this is a joint group, it's a joint paper. I think we better move forward as we all understand, and we also think the staff participating this this work and the board members as observers participating in the report, they will understand the process, and as Edmund also mentioned about that. And the other two things, the other things are probably just to remind everyone, this is just one of the three issues being identified, which means that if we do so for the first issue, which is the single IDN, we may have to fall into this logic, this procedure again, to approve the other two issues, which could be more or less similar in more similar complexity or even more complicated than the other two. So we might have to consider our approach and the procedure, all the logic here. So I would propose that we move forward with what we have today. Thank you.
Thanks. We have new wording there, but we still have the forwarding the report to the ICANN board, which seems to be a problem for some people. I do hope the CCNSO appreciates how much effort we're putting into not upsetting them on this item. How comfortable would people be if we take out the forward to the report to the ICANN board, or would you rather keep that in and hope that the board understands?
It's Adrian, Stefan. Can I comment?
Yes, please.
I think it's crazy. Guys, we seem to have gone around in circles here. Why can't you just put some wording? I think Alan had it right, and you'll never hear me say that but you won't hear me say that very often. But why isn't it just the fact that we send this to the board understanding that this has just been signed off it is a joint report and has been signed off by the GNSO? That's it. So they will then go, well, okay, we'll wait to hear what the CCNSO have to say about it as well. And then say, as where it pertains to GTLDs, please ask staff to address the implementation issues. Done.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that personally, but not everyone does seem to agree with that. To draw your attention to what Han Tran is typing in on the chat, telling us that the next CCNSO Council meeting is on the 12th and there's nothing on the agenda to consider adopting this, approving this as a motion, but this is on the agenda for discussion, so that's something there of interest. I would like not to spend too long on this. We've already spent a lot longer than I thought on this item. I have Alan and Mary, and I'll cut the queue there if I may. Alan?
Yeah, to the extent this is relevant, and conceivably it could be, there could be a recommendation here for GTLDs, which the CCNSO in its wisdom knows is bloody wrong. I'd like to think that wasn't the case since they have a lot of people on the working group. But given that, you could add another resolve that we forward this approval to the CCNSO such that they can register any dissent or problems with it. So it's doing the courtesy, since they're joint charterers, that we're telling them of our decision and giving them the opportunity to speak if they want to.
What's the wording that you're suggesting?
I hadn't gotten that far. Resolved that GNSO Council forwards this decision to the CCNSO for their consideration.
Okay. Thank you. Mary?
Thanks, Stefan. And since I joined late, I apologize if I'm going over ground people have trodden before. Just two things, and I think I'm speaking for most of my NCSG colleagues on this. First of all, I want to agree totally what Adrian just said. I think it makes no sense to do something otherwise, and we should hope that the report can tell that it's coming from the GNSO Council, and to the extent that the CCNSO might have its own motion at some point, then that will come from the CCNSO. So I want to support what Adrian said, and I think some of my colleagues do as well. So we don't think it's necessary to amend it the way it's been suggested. Secondly, with respect to what Alan just said, on the resolve clause, we could just say something like resolve further that the GNSO Council, the GNSO Council's approval of this, its approval is...
Mary,
something like that. That's it.
Can I just suggest that the language Alan has suggested is actually rather elegantly simple?
The fact is that I don't. In fact, this is kind of part of the point that Jeff was making, ironically, that it's odd that the CCNO has to consider the GNSS Council decision. That's how it would read to somebody else. So I would prefer, if we're going to say something like that at all, to say merely that our decision is communicated to the CCNSO.
Okay. So that would change this, the second resolved. The GNSO communicates its decision to the CCNSO and take out the full consideration and add a result further. There's a further missing there at the beginning of that clause, please. So if I read the resolved once again, just to make it clear for everybody, resolved, the GNSO Council approves the JIG final report on single character IDM TLDs and forwards the report to the ICANN board and staff for its implementation to the next version of the new GTLD applicant guidebook as it pertains to the new GTLDs. Resolved further, that the GNSO Council communicates its decision to the CCNSO. Resolved further, that the GNSO Council hereby expresses its appreciation to the JIG for their hard work and look forward to receiving further reports on IDN variant TLDs and universal acceptance of IDN TLDs. I would actually suggest that the second resolve clause be amended to read, resolve further that the GNSO Council instructs the chair to communicate its decision to the CCNSO chair.
Perfect. Thanks, Stefan.
Thank you very much. Can I ask, just for the record, Ching, Rafiq, and Adrian, if those friendly amendments are ones that you would accept?
Yes, I'll gladly to accept the friendly amendment. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Adrian, Rafiq? Adrian?
Yes.
Rafiq, yes?
Rafiq, yes. Yeah, I accept it as a friendly amendment.
Thank you very much. Adrian? Adrian may have dropped off.
No, he's
here. I'm here. Adrian's here. Sorry.
Would you accept these as friendly?
Yes, I would.
Great. Thank you very much. So, Glenn, please proceed with a voice vote on this motion. I don't think anyone would oppose that. I think I asked that already, didn't I? If I didn't, would anyone be opposed to a voice vote? Good. Glenn, please do a voice vote on this.
Certainly, Stefan. All those in favour of the motion, please say aye.
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 Is anyone opposed to the motion, please say nay. Are there any abstentions?
Yes, Glenn, this is Christina. I'm abstaining.
Yes, David abstaining as well.
Thank you. Could you please give your reasons for abstaining?
Certainly. Ordinarily, we would request that action on this motion be deferred to allow the members of the IPC to fully consider it. But in light of the timing considerations and the desire to try and have the recommendations added to the next iteration of the applicant guidebook, we absolutely do not want to stand in the way of that. So as opposed to requesting the deferral, we'll simply abstain.
Thank you, Christina. Thank you, David. The vote passes. Stefan.
Thank you very much, Glenn. Thank you, everybody, for working so hard on this one. And thank you, Edmund, for being with us on this item once again. Let's move very quickly. I want to gloss over item 7. I will, if Marika, if you're okay with it, I'll ask you to defer your update. I know that there's not that much to say on this. The new guidelines, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, are ready, and they have been, I believe, the working groups that are currently already started have been told of the new guidelines, and I believe that in the new version of the pending projects
list for the GNSO. This is item 7.3. That pending project has now been closed. Is this all correct, Marika?
That's all.
Great. Thank you very much. Is there any discussion on this one? Thank you. So let's move on to item 8. This is the last motion that we'll be voting on today. It's a motion that was made by me, and it is one that aims at signing off on the latest revisions to Section 5 of our operating procedures. I will very quickly try and read the motion and then open it up for discussion and a vote. So, whereas in October 2008, the GNSO Council established a framework for implementing the various GNSO improvements, link given, identified and approved by the ICANN Board of Directors on 26 June 2008, whereas that framework included the formation in January 2009 of two steering committees, the OSC Operations Steering Committee and the PPSC Policy Process Steering Committee, to charter and coordinate the efforts of five community work teams in developing specific recommendations to implement the improvements, whereas the OSC established three work teams which were chartered to focus on specific operational areas addressed in the BGT report recommendations link provided, whereas the GNSO Council recently identified areas for improvement in Section 5 statements of interest in the GNSO Council operating procedures link provided that would simplify and clarify the procedures, whereas the GNSO Council tasked the OSC with completing a revision to improve Section 5, whereas the OSC submitted to the GNSO Council on 4th of February 2011 a proposed revision of Section 5 link provided that removes the requirement for disclosures of interest and provides clearer guidance on the contents of statements of interest and on updating them in a timely manner, whereas the GNSO Council acknowledged receipt of the proposed revision of Section 5 at its 24 February 2011 meeting and initiated a 30-day public comment period link provided on the document, whereas there were no comments on the proposed revision of Section 5 link provided in the public forum, and the final version link provided is submitted to the GNSO Council for its consideration. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the GNSO Council adopts the revision of Section 5 as proposed by the OSC and instructs ICANN staff to incorporate the revised Section 5 link provided into a new version of the GNSO Operating Procedures, GOP, which becomes effective immediately upon adoption. Resolved that each working group formed after the date of this resolution shall utilize the procedures in the revised Section 5. Resolved further that the GNSO Council hereby expresses its gratitude and appreciation to the members of the OSC for their dedication, commitment, and thoughtful recommendations. Is there any discussion on this motion? Would anyone be opposed to a voice vote on this motion? Glenn, please do a voice vote on the motion.
Certainly, Stefan. All those in favour of the motion, please say aye.
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 If anyone is opposed to the motion, please say no. Nay. Are there any abstentions? The motion passes unanimously, Stefan.
Thank you very much, and apologies to Julie. I've glossed over the summary of that you were going to give of the revisions, but in the interest of time, we have 3 minutes left remaining in this meeting. I have missed one agenda item, which was 4.3, 3.3, which was an update on the WHOIS requirements that Liz was going to give, and there are still two any other business items that we have to do. So I would actually prefer to let Liz address the WHOIS requirements part and perhaps carry the any other business items over to the next meeting, if everyone is okay with that. Liz, could you very quickly just give us a few moments on this?
Sure, Stefan, thank you. This is a report, if you recall, that we actually completed in July of last year, and in the San Francisco meeting, Steve Shang gave another overview of it because the council requested it in May of 2009, but the council's never discussed the report. It's been about 10 months or so, and the issue is what are the next steps that should be done with this report. There really has been no response either on the list or in San Francisco or in any previous discussion. So what I wanted to do is just tee that up and ask if you would like to actually work on next steps yourselves, if you would like perhaps for staff to come up with some suggested next steps that you all could consider. You also, if you are not sure what to do as far as next steps go, you might want to consider the two proponents of the motion initially back in May of 2009 were Chuck Gomes and Aubrey Doria, and one possibility is to ask either Chuck or Aubrey or both if they're interested and willing to join a call and perhaps share their thoughts of what they think next steps might be appropriate. I just don't want to leave this item hanging, you know, coming up on a year now without having some next steps. And I'm happy to try to give some thought to it if the council wants, but did not want to do so without any direction from you. Thank you.
Thanks, Liz, for being so quick on this. So your suggestion is that we ask Avery and Chuck if they'd be willing to propose a few next steps?
That's one option. I sort of laid out three options. One would be asking Chuck and Aubrey. One would be just asking the staff, and we'll, you know, we may consult with them. We may, you know, suggest some other things. The third would be if you all have suggestions yourselves. So actually, I'm giving you three choices to pick from.
Okay, thanks. The Avery and Chuck option certainly sounds good to me. What do others think? Let me ask the question a different way. Would there be any opposition to us asking Avery and Chuck to come up with some proposals on this? Okay, good. So, Liz, can we leave that with you to contact them and make that request on our behalf?
Sure, thank you.
Thank you very much. Great. Thanks for being so quick on this. Jeff, I know you absolutely want to get to 9.1, so can I turn it over to you very quickly?
Yeah, sure. Real quickly, just to give everyone a heads up, the PDP work team is finalizing its report, and under the charter that it currently has, it's supposed to send its final report to the PPSC. There's a number of people that feel that this is an added layer of bureaucracy, that there's been so much work with the PDP work team already, so many public comment periods and others, that forwarding it to another organization may not be the best way to get things done. And so I plan on, and I hope others plan on supporting at the next meeting, introducing a motion to revise the charter to not require the PDP work team to submit it to the PPSC, but rather be able to submit the final report directly to the council. So I just want to give everyone a heads up on that. And if anyone's got any thoughts on that, if they could send it to me or talk about it on the list, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Does anyone want to respond to Jeff before I close the meeting? Okay. In that case, I will defer 9.2 to next time, if that's okay with everybody. Bring the meeting to a close. We're just slightly over time. Thank you very much, everybody, for your participation, and speak to you all next time. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye.